Hi, this is Swapnil Bhartia and welcome to TFR Newsroom. And today we have with us today once again, Deepak Giridhar Gopal, CTO of Puppet. And today we're going to talk about Relay, which is finally available to public. It was available as a public beta, if I'm not wrong. So Deepak, first of all, welcome to the show. Let's talk about Relay. What is it? What problem are you trying to solve with Relay?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me back on. It's always good to be here. And I think in general, Relay is based on a couple of core hypotheses. And it's mostly along the lines of if you're in cloud operations or infrastructure operations, or you're just an operator ops type of person in general, automation in these kind of modern environments is too hard, stuff moves too quickly, and the tooling is inaccessible to the broadest range of users that need to have it. Right. And I think that sounds pretty simple on the tin, but there's a couple of interesting nuances, I think, when you actually try to solve that kind of problem. So what Relay is really attempting to do is say, what is it about modern infrastructure that makes this stuff so hard to deal with? And to us, a lot of that is there's too much sprawl. Like there's a ton of different cloud services out there. There's a ton of different vendors that you use in your applications. So that now the complexity has really moved for people doing automation from what's inside the operating system to now it's how services connect to each other, how containers connect to each other, how you can talk with any of the 12 third-party tools that you use or your cloud platform infrastructure APIs. How do you tie those things together into a higher level scenario that lets you automate something? It's less about putting the right files on disk in a certain location in those environments, and it's more about the glue that everyone uses to tie this stuff together. And what we found is most people don't. You know, at best, and at worst, they have a lot of custom, what I call digital duct tape, where they've built a lot of bespoke stuff that ties it together. That's not really reusable, it's not really stable, and it's just hard. So that's one dimension of the problem. I think the other dimension of it is that when you automate these things, the learning curve required is super steep. So if I have an app and it's running on Amazon and my ops team uses a combination of Slack and GitHub, and maybe I use Auth0 for my authentication, just dealing with a regular outage or an incident involves me coordinating all those things together. So if I wanted to automate that, I would have to learn what, 4 completely different vendor APIs to do something really simple, right? So to me, that feels like it's ops 101, automating incident response, you know, as an example. That's what every operator has to deal with. And yet I have to learn 4 completely independent software development kits, different APIs, and then I have to write what, like a daemon or a service, and I have to keep that up and running now too. It's awful. And I think that's the reason why a lot of people don't do it and why a lot of people focus on automating the plumbing, where it's not bad, it's just not super high value. The other major dimension that I want to mention though is that of how to make automation more accessible to a larger percentage of people. There is, as everyone watching this knows, there is no shortage of really complex, extremely powerful automation tools for any language you can think of out there. And that's great. And as they get more powerful, that's just more reasons why the vast majority of what I would call Main Street ops folks, they would never use it. And I think the reason why they would never use it is, why do I have to learn another language? Why do I have to learn another YAML syntax? Why do I have to learn all these things only to make it not easily shareable to a broader set of people on my team, right? Tools made for these super niche, hardcore experts do not scale in human terms. They don't scale to more people because you don't have that many experts in IT out there. So that's why we're a big believer in kind of low-code approaches to automating a lot of this stuff, because that's the way you give quick time to value to the largest possible set of folks. And I think that's what the market is telling us that they really need. So with Relay, people use this low-code kind of interface to automate across all these different tools. And you can use that to replace kind of this unsustainable digital duct tape. And it lets you do things like automated incident response, cost management, better security and compliance auditing, and just overall kind of make it easier to automate all the stuff that's getting in your way all the time. And that's the dream.
Right. And what I hear is that it's more or less like, you know, it's kind of a software as a service, you know, low code offering, which you're kind of trying to apply to ops. Low code is quite popular. I mean, it's there are mixed, depending on who you talk to, they have their own views about low code. But it does help organizations move faster without having to worry about, and there is a huge gap in supply and demand of talent as well. So, yes. But you know, you're bringing it to ops. So talk about that justification.
Yeah, I think there's this there's a continuum, I say, and it goes between there's no code tools, which I think for the most part the ops community kind of rejects. And I understand this being an operator myself and being involved with Puppet as CTO for years now. It's almost like the Fisher Price toolkit for doing operations at scale, right? It's easy to get started with, but it's never powerful enough to really cover everything that you need. Plus, the other liability of no-code tools is that they don't work in a way that's harmonious with everything else in the ops toolkit, which is infrastructure as code related. Like that's, there's a reason why that school of thought has won, right? So similarly, though, on the opposite end of the continuum is just it's all code. It's nothing but code. And those are the folks that are like, look, there are going to be no operators anymore. It's just developers that know how to write really high-end software. And I think that misses the boat, too, because there's a definite skill set around maintaining and operating systems that has been there from the beginning and will continue to be there probably forever until, fingers crossed, the software really does manage itself. So I think low code is really interesting for ops folks because it has to strike this balance. And I think what makes it hard and why we're one of the first low code operations tools really out there is it's difficult to navigate that tension between you want to present people with a low code, easy to use, quick time to value experience that is easy for the broadest possible set of operators to consume. But you need to also have that be backed by code on the other side that allows those tools to be harmonious and super easy to integrate with everything else you have in your toolkit, right? So what Relay tries to do is thread that needle where we present people this low-code approach to building these ops workflows where, you know, you're automating over a lot of sophisticated stuff. Every step in a workflow is a container. Every trigger that receives a webhook is a container. But if you're an end user, you could use sort of a more of a standardized graphical interface to design all these things. But under the hood, it is always backed by human-readable, compact code in a notation that everyone understands, which is a very puppety thing to do. You know, we're sort of the domain-specific language for ops folks, right? So that way you kind of get the best of both worlds. And creating the best of both worlds is hard. And I think that's why most companies have not taken this approach. It's easier to build more advanced programming tools for the more advanced set of users, but automation for the few is not nearly as interesting to me as automation for the many. And that's why I'm really bullish on the idea of low code as being an emerging trend for ops folks, because I think the appetite is there, but you have to give ops folks low code in a way that is harmonious with the rest of their world, right? Otherwise, they will reject it, and rightfully so.
Right. And these days, you know, everything is like code, you know, infrastructure is code. Yep. Then we also talk about GitOps, which kind of, you know, and these days, when we do look at terms, it's less about technology, it's more about how you do things.
Yeah.
So sometimes also like, how much code is enough, right? You know, how much code is too much code?
Exactly.
So to talk about how does Relay fit into this paradigm that we are going through, which is more or less like, you know, infrastructure as a code and GitOps.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, GitOps, I think, is really interesting as a specific version of kind of more general infrastructure as code principles, right? It's a little more extreme in one sense, in that the idea is that all of your change is captured as source code and in Git, so you have a constant audit trail of everything that you're doing. And it's a very powerful forcing function to get ops teams to think about, you know, am I doing things in a methodical way? Is it peer-reviewed? Is it testable? I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, as Puppet, we're believers in it. We're pretty big believers in infrastructure as code. We're a founding member of the Continuous Delivery Foundation, and I'm actually giving a talk on GitOps at CDCon that's coming up. But what I think GitOps misses is that I don't believe that GitOps is necessarily well-suited for an era where the rate of change is faster than a commit, right? To me, it feels very simple. You're running in a modern environment. You have a distributed infrastructure. Stuff is going up and down all the time. The rate of change is extremely high. It can be as fast as multiple times a second. if the rate of change in your environment is that high, but the rate of change you're allowed to make as an operator is limited by the speed of a Git commit, that's a pretty big mismatch, right? And that to me seems like a recipe for letting your infrastructure run away from you because your ability to make change does not match the pace at which you might need it to. So I think the future is really more an extension or an evolution of GitOps and infrastructure as code, which is really about how can our automation be more event-driven and self-regulating, where I'm not saying take the operator completely out of the loop, but that's a powerful thing to think about. If my automation could receive events, and this is the central idea behind Relay, you can have a workflow codified and then connect it to a variety of different incoming events. And if you can receive these events, initiate a sophisticated ops workflow in response, and then automatically take care of the problem, then suddenly your ability to automate things and fix problems is faster than the speed that you can hit the green button to merge something on GitHub, right? So I think they're highly complementary, but I do think that you're right. This desire to formalize how we work, I worry a little bit that we miss the forest for the trees. The real goal is not capture everything in Git. The real goal is to make sure our systems stay up and running, right, all the time to the service level that they need. And I think GitOps is a powerful component of that. So the ideal is if you can mesh those two things together, event-driven automation on one side, but that is backed by infrastructure as code that works with the rest of your GitOps stuff on the other side. And I think that's the happy path.
And when you are talking about, you know, all you do, basically when I look at, if you simplify everything, all you want is business continuity. I mean, we can talk about all the tech stack and everything else. Yes. Basically what you want is, these days, you know, another, you know, shift or another movement that we are hearing is, it's nothing new, SREs. Yeah. How does Relay fit into that also?
Oh, yeah. I think that's an excellent question because one way to look at, low code, making it easier for everybody, like, does that even apply to SREs? The strongest feedback we've gotten about low code stuff has been from SREs, which is kind of the puppet target audience. And the reason for that isn't people saying, oh, wow, I'm not smart enough to handle a complicated automation product. It's not that. It's more, look, the part of my brain that needs to focus on being super smart about coding up very complicated things, can I save that for writing the Kubernetes operators? Can I save that for writing the lower level automation or my Puppet code or my Terraform file or my Ansible playbook or whatever it is? But you know what I don't have remaining capacity to spend my brain power on is tying all these things together, right? Is so that if I have a security breach, do I have the right alert enrichment workflow where, you know, I can pull the data from all the 12 different logging tools and monitoring tools I have, enrich an alert, send a message into Slack so my team can collaborate on it, open and close tickets automatically, all as part of the single workflow to respond to an incident. I think there's a reason why there's a gap in the market around these kinds of tools for SREs. And that's because, do you want to tell an SRE like, hey, here's 8 different web pages for the SDKs for 8 different vendors. Now I need you to write a workflow that ties all these things together. And by the way, the resulting code, you now have to maintain that just like you maintain everything else. I think that just increases the surface area of what they have to deal with. So I view this as more not replacing an SRE. Right? Like, I don't think of an SRE as a Roomba. You know, if I could just replace you with a robot, I don't need you anymore. And instead, I think Relay is acting more as an Iron Man suit, right? It's really more about, can I give you something that's more powerful where the tools can amplify your reach and the tools and the software works for you? So you could focus your attention on the parts where it really matters. Nobody needs to learn how the Slack SDK works. You really don't, I promise you. Just reuse a step that allows you to send notifications or do chat op stuff. No one needs to learn how the Jira SDK works. I definitely promise you don't want to look at like any of those or ServiceNow or the any of 15 different AWS APIs as an SRE. I promise you that you have better things to do with your time than worry about those things. So let another tool handle all of the glue for you, so that you can focus on just stitching the things together and then, you know, spend more of your time solving higher value problems. Because you're right, the tech under the hood, the customer usually doesn't care about the tech under the hood. They just want the service to be up and running, you know, for business purposes, right?
Yeah. I mean, even if they do care, but the thing is, what is the basic idea why we are doing all these things, right? Is to serve the customer. So, and as if, and if you look at the cloud native world, as if it's not complicated enough already that you want to add more complexity.
Absolutely. And I think the only other thing I would add to this is, I think you raise a really good point to me about SRE and kind of what problems people could focus on. And it's that, you know, I think it's 2021, and maybe this is a bold statement to make, but I really do feel like the plumbing for most infrastructure stuff is, it's pretty good. It's like good enough for the vast majority of people. There's a small percentage that will continue to argue in the barroom fight about what container orchestrator is better, what service mesh to use, and things like that. But by and large, I don't know, whichever one you pick, it's probably fine. Wherever you deploy your VMs are fine. Wherever you deploy your containers, it's probably fine. What's the next set of problems? Can we finally stop arguing about the buzzwords in the CNCF landscape and the plumbing and really focus on the next set of major issues? And I think it's like, automating stuff is too hard. People don't have the time in the day to continue to manually do stuff. It's the same classic problems. It's just the infrastructure is different and way more advanced. So the solutions to those classic problems needs to change, right? And that's really the solution space we're trying to explore with Relay. And so far, the existing user feedback during the beta period has been awesome. And we continue to talk with users and we'll refine that going forward. But that's the stuff that keeps me up at night. It's not, you know, what container registry should I be using? It's more, how do I respond to events and incidents more effectively? How do I ensure my stuff is secure, even as the rate of change is really high? How do I like cut costs, even as I let developers spin up new stuff whenever they want? Like, that's the stuff that's hard, you know, and that I find far more interesting. Despite the fact that as a builder, I do kind of love the plumbing, but you know.
Yeah. Since it has been in beta and now it's available, can you talk about some of the use cases that you have seen your people are using it, leveraging it already in production?
Yeah, I think the major ones are around sort of self-healing infrastructure. So we have, one customer I could mention is Bricks. They're a managed service provider out of Belgium. They actually have a multi-cloud deployment because they're an MSP. So they do stuff in Amazon, they do stuff in Azure, they do stuff in Oracle Cloud, depending on the customers. So they have a lot of things where they'll get alerts from a disparate set of systems. And the action they need to take is auto-scaling in a way that works across several different clouds. And they have some existing automation around that. But there's no one cloud that provides you that feature that works everywhere. So this is a place where they've used Relay to codify a workflow that just captures this auto-scaling response based on incoming alerts where they apply some filtering. And that allows it to pretty quickly and easily work across multiple clouds. And that's been really great. So I think that's been a really strong use case for us, is people taking existing automation tools and adding sort of an event-driven brain on top of it that helps it be driven by more of the other high signal event sources they have, like monitoring or observability tools, intrusion detection systems. And then on the other side, allows them to go out over the last mile automation tools they have and then flip whatever switches they need. So self-healing infrastructure is one. Security and compliance management, I think, is another one. So, you know, there's no shortage of breaches around someone stood up an S3 bucket and it's public. And now all of my information is available on the darknet within 35 seconds. That's not great. Wouldn't it be nice if you can get events from your cloud platform whenever these things are created? And then you could run a workflow that asserts that they have all the right tags and permissions. And then the last one, which I already mentioned, was sort of a better, more automated incident response, where you can do things like alert enrichment and automatic remediation when you have an alert. And those things are tough to do in the alerting programs themselves because, you know, usually it's, here's the text box for what script you want to run. And as we all know in the ops world, like responding to an incident is not just here's the one text box, right? Problems do not fit in a single text box. So you need to have more of a workflow that captures all the different parts of it. So those are the major areas. And we're probably going to be doing a lot more work on the compliance and security related ones coming up very soon, because out of all of the use cases, that's had a tremendous amount of demand from the user community, is can you give us more specific user experiences around compliance? So you'll see more from us on that one fairly soon.
Deepak, thank you so much for taking time out today and talk about Relay. And we actually went deeper into, you know, how companies should focus their resources. And as you rightly said, you know, it's as much as about using your, you know, the best part of your brain, it's also about the time, because when you're solving a problem, it's taking time away from what you could be putting somewhere else. So the more time you save, the better is they can invest somewhere else. So once again, thank you for this discussion, and I look forward to talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate coming here.